You're just in time for the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, the radio outreach of the Christian Research Institute. Our purpose here at CRI is to equip Christians to pursue sound doctrine, to discern truth and error, and to become faithful disciples of Christ, because life and truth matter. For more information, to order resources or donate, call 888-7000-CRI. Or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. Now, here's the president of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. As always, great to be in the studio as we answer your questions throughout the United States and Canada, indeed, questions from around the world. And we do this Monday through Friday, but all the time, 24/7, through the various outreaches of the Christian Research Institute, the Bible Answer Man broadcast, and what we do around the world. And we would invite you to join us by standing shoulder to shoulder in this one-of-a-kind battle for life and truth. You can support the Christian Research Institute prayerfully and financially by writing me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or by talking to our resource consultants, 888-7000 and the letter CRI, or you can contact us on the web at equip.org. A lot of you hanging on, we'll go right to our phone callers. First up is Duane, listening in Benson, Arizona, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Duane.
Hi, Hank. My question is concerning receiving the Holy Spirit, and I was wanting to know what the difference between baptism of the Holy Spirit is, filling of the Holy Spirit, and sealed by the Holy Spirit. And in Titus 3:5, it says he saved us through the washing and regeneration, renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. And I started looking up other passages about where the Holy Spirit was like poured out, and I haven't got them all yet, but I came up with like about 10 I wrote down, and I was wanting to know what the difference between that, and then on several occasions where Paul laid hands on people so they would receive the Holy Spirit. Can you line all that out for me?
Sure. Let me give you the basic principles. First of all members of true Israel are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. As such, the Spirit dwelt in Moses. The Spirit dwelt in Matthew. The Spirit dwelt in James. In every epoch of time, believers are regenerated, they're restored, as well as sanctified and sealed through the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. Bottom line, if you're a believer, a follower of Jesus Christ, your temple is the temple of the Holy Spirit. But there's a second thing that you allude to, and that is the idea of infilling. Those who are in Christ are not only indwelt, but they're infilled with the Holy Spirit. So when Jesus said to his disciples, "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever," he wasn't suggesting that the Holy Spirit was not already working redemptively within his followers, but that the Spirit would manifest in the special empowerment of each believer to proclaim the gospel. Incidentally, before I do the broadcast, I always spend a concerted time in prayer, and during that time in prayer, I ask the Lord to infill me. And what I'm saying, in essence, is, Lord, empower me so that what I do is not by might nor by power, but by your Spirit. While the indwelling of the Spirit happens at conversion, therefore, the infilling of the Spirit happens continually. We daily seek the Holy Spirit to empower us, whether in our prayers to God or whether we're proclaiming the gospel. Whenever the gospel penetrates the human heart, of course, again, it isn't because we've been slick with our presentation. Rather, it is because the Holy Spirit has changed the heart. He's used us as instruments in the process. Also, Ephesians, I might add, provides the surety that you are marked in Him with a seal. And that seal is the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession. So we are sealed by the Holy Spirit as well. So you have the three basic ideas that you mentioned in your question, the idea of indwelling, all Christians are indwelt by the Spirit, infilling, that's a continual infilling. We're asking the Lord to empower us for service. And then the idea of being sealed by the precious Holy Spirit, an earnest of our salvation. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Charlie in Mooresville, Indiana, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Charlie.
Hi, Hank. I got a question for you about the mark of the beast. Oh, by the way, I appreciate all you do, and God bless you in the ministry.
Thank you.
The mark of the beast, I've heard some people say that it's an implant, a microchip, or something of that nature. And then I've also heard that the mark of God is on your soul and in your heart. You know, I'm not real sure exactly, so.
Yeah, I'd be happy to, and sorry to cut you off there quickly because the audio wasn't very good, but very, very easily explained. The mark of the beast is a parody of the mark of the lamb. As I've explained in this broadcast consistently, the mark on the foreheads of the 144,000 in Revelation 14 symbolizes identity with the lamb. In the same way, the mark in Revelation 13 symbolizes identity with the beast. When Jesus says that on him who overcomes, he will write the name of my God in the name of the city of my God, and then goes on to say, I'll also write on him with my name, we intuitively realize that he's not talking about actually writing something on our foreheads. And the reason I say that is because we always need to be securely tethered to the biblical text, which means that we have to interpret Scripture in light of Scripture. If you are tethered to the biblical text, as opposed to going off in a subjective flight of fancy, you recognize that the forehead and the hands of Old Testament believers were symbols of their belief and behavior. In other words, what you believe and how you behave mark you as either belonging to God or belonging to Satan. The bottom line, of course, therefore, is that when John refers to the mark of the beast in Revelation, he's not talking about Sunday worship. He's not talking about a Social Security card. He's not talking about a silicon microchip. None of that has a basis in Scripture. That's a wild fantasy. What it is simply communicating that what you do, how you behave, identifies you in terms of who you belong to. I've written about this in various places, including my book, The Apocalypse Code. There's also an entry in the complete Bible Answer Book, Clichter's edition on this, as well as there's reference to this in my book, Afterlife. So a lot of resources we have at the Christian Research Institute that will help you answer that question. Back to the phone lines, Charles in Minneapolis, Minnesota, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Charles.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call, Hank. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Question for you. I've been listening to your broadcast a while, and I started my sitting position, and I just started to become a student with the Bible. At the same time, I prayed for a promotion that I actually got with my company. And I've came to figure out that the promotion is a blessing, and it's a lot more than what I expected. I kind of want to progress forward in the right direction, the way that God wants me to go. But I want to make sure that I'm doing everything that I'm supposed to be doing, so that I can give Him back the glory. And I just kind of my question was, could you talk a little bit about what it looks like in the workplace as far as staying on the path that he's predetermined for me, and where I could do some research in the Bible to kind of make sure that I stay going in that direction for him.
Yeah, God puts us into circumstances, and we want to flower in the circumstances that God puts us in. And as you've alluded to, they can be difficult. But I think difficult circumstances cause us to grow and stretch. I continue to grow and stretch as I've been doing what I've been doing for over 30 years, and yet I'm growing and stretching and learning each and every single day. In fact, I'm very excited about learning because I feel the more I learn, not only about truth, but how to live the Christian life, the better resource I am to people that call me on the Bible Answer Man broadcast or interact with me through the ministry outreaches of the Christian Research Institute. And the same thing is true of you. God has given each one of us a vocation, and where he has placed us for a purpose. So what you want to do within that context is to be a witness or ambassador for Jesus Christ. You want to continue to learn and grow and develop spiritually, not just in terms of your vocation, but in terms of your spiritual prowess, so that in that position you can testify not only by your life and by your love, but also when God affords the opportunities to testify by your lips as well.
That's amazing. That is exactly what I want to do. And I do have a little bit of fears and reservations if I'm capable of doing it. And I guess I need to figure out a way that I can always come back to him and know that this is what he wants, and it's all for his glory. And I was just wondering if you could have some passages that I could look back and review and study so that I'm able to, you know, feel a little bit more confident in what he actually wants me to do.
Yeah, I think, let me say this, that you want to continue to be comfortable in the situation that you find yourself in. And here's what I mean. You can imagine how scary it is to come into a studio every day and look at a board and you see questions that maybe I've never dealt with before. And you want to do it in a way that's pleasing to the Lord. But what tempers the fear factor is to realize that I have a fallback position. So if someone asks me a question, I just don't have a radar fix on how to answer that question. I just tell the person very politely, that's a great question. I don't know how to answer that question, but I'll research and return. So what happens in the process is I research, I find the answer to the question, and guess what? I'm growing in that process. And the next time I'm asked the question, I'm a more usable vessel in the hands of the Holy Spirit, in rightly dividing the word of truth, in helping people with their circumstances. So what does the Bible say? It says, study to show yourself approved, a workman that need not blush with embarrassment, rightly dividing the word of truth. Or elsewhere, we hear Paul tell us that every word of God is useful for instruction, for teaching, for training in righteousness. So I think those passages and others that we could send along to you would be very, very helpful to you in encouraging you to persevere in your studies.
Thank you, Hank. I really appreciate it. Thank you. And I will definitely start looking into that and continue to sit, and then hopefully I'll be able to stand and get really, really good going on a nice walk.
I love what you just said, by the way. That's a beautiful way of putting it. I mean, you have to crawl before you can walk and walk before you can run. And that's how we mature as human beings. And it's also a very good metaphor for how we mature in being a faithful ambassador for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So good for you.
Thank you, Hank. Have a wonderful evening.
You as well. By the way, the Christian Research Journal, a brand new edition out, and one of the articles particularly important, responding to pro-gay revisionist talking points. The Reformation Project, some of you have heard of that, some of you have not. It's a project that's dedicated to reforming the church's traditional views on same-sex sexuality. And they do it by training an army of church members to rebut biblical arguments against homosexuality using talking points. Now, none of the talking points has any merit, and in this article, Sean McDowell undresses the talking points so you understand what the fallacy is in the talking points. Just one more reason to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. It's an award-winning magazine that no Christian home should be without. You can subscribe in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org or when you write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. As always, you can talk to our resource consultants about a subscription as well, 888-7000 and the letters CRI. Also, the newsletter, free of charge. You can sign up for the newsletter on the web at equip.org. Of course, when you hear me talking about resources, the resources that I talk about on the show inevitably are found on the web as well. That address, as mentioned earlier in the broadcast, equip.org. Be back with more answers.
The Reformation Project seeks to change the church's traditional views on homosexuality by training an army of church members to rebut biblical arguments against same-sex sexuality and to use a set of talking points to persuade traditionalists to adopt the revolutionist position. Sean McDowell examines the most critical of these talking points in the current issue of the Christian Research Journal. Start your subscription today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. That's equip.org. Hank Hanegraaff will be back right after the break. Multitudes of Christian brothers and sisters in the Global South urgently need basic materials to ground their faith. That's why CRI has embarked on a 10-year strategy called Going Global. This initiative will provide resources on apologetics, biblical literacy, and countering cults in Mandarin and Spanish, two of the world's largest mega languages. Since prayer is the fuel of global missions, we are offering the book Pray for the World, which provides well-researched information on what God in Christ is doing in countries throughout the world to help direct our prayers for the global church. Hank Hanegraaff and CRI will be using this vital resource to pray strategically for our Going Global initiative. To receive your copy of Pray for the World as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org, equip.org. Endless predictions about end-time events and published timetables counting down the end have proven to be wrong 100% of the time. When doomsday predictions fail, there is double-duty damage. Many theologically juvenile and scripturally superficial Christians abandon the faith as a result of these failed predictions, and the public image of Christianity is damaged, making Christians appear to be hopelessly naive and easily duped biblical bumpkins. Hank Hanegraaff's book, Prophetic Stars in the Constellation of Biblical Prophecy, will equip you not only to interpret biblical prophecy correctly, but to remember it as well. To receive your copy of Prophetic Stars as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. We live in an age of increasingly militant secularism and scientism, an age in which science, reinforced by its stunning successes and unprecedented benefits in our quality of life, is increasingly the arbiter of what constitutes truth. But the question is, do the facts of science really suggest a world governed by blind chance, or do they ultimately point to purpose and design? Living Waters, the latest film by Illustra Media,
explores Earth's astonishing underwater realm and shows how it's a realm where biological wonders reflect the highest levels of purpose and design. To receive your copy of Living Waters on DVD as our thank you for your support, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. The fairy tale is alive and well in today's popular culture. Indeed, it has a strong and enduring appeal for both adults and children because its very structure resonates with our deep-seated longings. But when that traditional structure is abandoned, the moral and Christian value of fairy tales can be lost. Holly Ordway explains the difference in her article, Once Upon a Time, The Enduring Appeal of Fairy Tales, in the current issue of the Christian Research Journal. Subscribe today by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online at equip.org. Once again, here's CRI President Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy. Let's go right back to our phone callers. Next up is Renee, listening in Fayetteville, North Carolina, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Renee.
Hello, Hank. Thanks for calling, taking my call.
You're welcome.
I have a question for you that I just came across some information and just heard about this. I guess it's a movement called Chrislam, and from what I understand, Rick Warren has been associated with it, or is rumored that he's been associated with it. So I just wanted to find out what information, or do you have any information about this so-called Chrislam movement?
Yeah, it's a very fluid term, so it has a lot of meanings. It's used in a lot of different contexts. It can refer to religious cults from Nigeria blending elements of Christianity and Islam. It can also refer to a Lebanese-based interfaith group. It's the word they use for their website, Chrislam, Islamic Christian National Dialogue Committee. So it's a fluid term. Also, as you just alluded to, it's used as a pejorative to communicate disapproval for Christian-Muslim dialogue. And sometimes when it's used in this way, it's used inappropriately because it's branding people like Rick Warren improperly. The term is used pejoratively against Rick Warren by people like Jack Van Impe and others. And I think it's just outrageous, particularly when Jack Van Impe has more theological hang-ups than a dry cleaner. But also, Chrislam refers to an increasingly problematic insider movement that's employed by a growing number of Christian missionaries to Muslims in Islamic countries. The idea is to follow Christ while maintaining identity as a Muslim or whatever particular socio-religious community you're part of. And that, again, is a very problematic situation because the world views, the way in which you not only live out your life, but the truths you believe are mutually exclusive. And to try to become syncretistic with respect to the two religions simply does not work.
Right. Okay. Well, thank you for that information. I'll keep searching it, researching it some more. Do you have anything on the CRI network about it?
We can probably come up with something for you. I'm not sure exactly what we have in print, but hang on. Let's see what we can come up with for you. But what I gave you is sort of the broad contours. You got to realize that the word is not used in a monolithic way. It's used in a multifaceted way. So people mean different things when they use the word Chrislam.
Okay, thanks.
You got it, Renee. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Sean next, listening in Maryland, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Sean.
Hi, Hank. Thank you so much for taking my call. I've called before, but I do have a concern about Christians and the use of tobacco products like cigarettes. Can you still be a Christian if you smoke?
Well, you might even get to heaven quicker. You know, cigarettes are certainly bad for you. That has been proven empirically. There's no doubt about that whatsoever. You have to realize that your temple is the temple of the Holy Spirit, and therefore we have to exercise great prudence with respect to that temple. But the problem is not relegated to cigarettes. It can be relegated to over-drinking. It can be relegated to, or not relegated, but it can be extended to overeating. So there are a lot of ways in which we disrespect the temple of God. You also have to recognize that smoking can be very, very addictive and therefore difficult to stop. So let's imagine someone is addicted to smoking. They become a believer. Doesn't mean that their habits necessarily disappear. It's a struggle. But they recognize as a believer that the Holy Spirit indwells them. Their temple is the temple of the Holy Spirit. So they want to do something about it. And the way you do that is you use the resources of the church, particularly accountability amongst believers, because we need one another, particularly as delineated by Paul in Romans chapter 12. The Apostle Paul says, "Everything is permissible for me, but not everything is beneficial for me. Everything is permissible for me, but I will not be mastered by anything." Now, obviously, if you are mastered by an addiction, you want to break that addiction. But to say that that person, before they have mastered the addiction or overcome the addiction, is not a believer, I think goes far beyond what Scripture would say. There are Christians who smoke and desperately wish they could break the habit.
So, I really do want to stop smoking. But the question is, how does one gauge that? How do I come to terms with it with myself that I'm okay, but I need to stop?
Well, I think you've already answered that question. I mean, I didn't know you were talking about yourself, but since this is a very personal thing for you, you know you love the Lord.
Yes.
You know your temple is the temple of the Holy Spirit. You also know through practical experience that breaking that habit is extraordinarily difficult. So God uses means, and the means that He uses often lie within the church itself. You can find support groups there. You can find people to whom you can be accountable. You can find 30-day plans by which you can master your addictions. Joe Dallas wrote a book on this, which is extraordinarily helpful. It's a 30-day plan to attain sexual integrity, but the principles apply to this as well. You want to have mastery over your body rather than being mastered by bodily appetites. And again, this is not an easy thing to do. You can't go it alone. You need someone to help you in the process.
But I am a saved Christian. I believe in Jesus Christ, my Holy Spirit, as my Savior, and So my question is: let's just say that for some reason this thing kills me. So I haven't tried hard enough.
No, I'm not suggesting that at all. If you are a believer, that means that you want to follow the principles and precepts of your King, Lord Jesus Christ, right? You want to do it His way, and that is the desire of your heart. That's what repentance is all about. It's a U-turn on the road of life. It is a willingness to turn from sin with God's help. It is a change of heart, a change of mind, a change of the will. But that is often not instantaneous. It is a process. So the fact that you want to follow Jesus Christ is what's significant. as a follower of Jesus Christ, you also realize that there are things in your life that you need to change. And the Lord has mercy on us, but we want to take active steps to facilitate change in our life. Now, if you end up dying before that change is facilitated, it does not mean that you're exempted from the kingdom. The real issue is your willingness to follow His principles and precepts, and the Lord takes that serious as well. And in the process, He will bring people and circumstances into your life so that you can overcome those things that are as yet besetting sins.
Thank you so much, Hank. I really appreciate that.
Well, thanks for being persistent and following up, because I understand the personal angst that you are experiencing. It's real. And may God bless you. Let me pray for you. Lord Jesus Christ, I do pray that you will surround Sean with people and through circumstances help him to overcome a very difficult addiction. And Lord, I pray as well that in the meantime, his love for you will continue to grow and blossom. And Lord, I pray that in the end, Sean will be a testimony to your goodness and grace. Lord, I pray even now that you will give him the peace that passes all understanding to know that you are his and he is yours. Lord, we pray all of this not by might nor by power, but by your Spirit. In the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Hank.
Bless you, Sean. Thank you so much for your call. We'll go back to the phone lines now. Talk to Ryan, listening in Denver, Colorado, on the web. Hi, Ryan.
Good evening, Hank. Thank you so much for taking my call. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome.
My main point, or my main question, I guess, is I'm really starting to try to study the Word a lot more and get a lot deeper understanding. I'm hoping to go to seminary soon. And just in my inner circle, I'm really one of the few people that are, you know, by default, I guess, I happen to be the one that my family and a lot of people come and ask questions to when they don't have an understanding of something. And I was noticing today, actually, that in a couple of the translations, there's, it may only be a one or two word difference in a particular verse here or there, but it makes a huge change to the context of the verse and the context of the story. And I know this isn't the only one, but just the one that popped out to me is I was reading in the NLT about Balaam and the donkey, and, you know, in, I forget the verses, I'm sorry, but in the one verse, you know, God says to him, since these men have come, go ahead and go with them. It's the second time that they've came. And in the King James Version, it says, if they come, call you. And to me, that's just a huge difference when you're looking at the story. And so I guess my main question is really to get a good biblical understanding and a good sturdy foundation, what is the best translation to be studying in order to get the true meaning of the Scripture?
Yeah. Well, you point out something that's very important. There are paraphrases, and you're talking about a paraphrase when you're talking about the NLT. It doesn't necessarily make it bad, but you don't want to use that as the sole substance of your study. You want to compare that with actual translations of the Bible. There are different kinds of translations. Some are word for word, at least more or less word for word. Some are thought for thought. And in some cases, a thought for thought translation is more accurate to go from the original language to the receptor language in terms of conveying meaning. So I think that there are wonderful Bibles available today, the New King James Version of the Bible, the New International Version of the Bible, the NASV, some formal, some dynamic equivalencies. But in terms of choosing a translation, we did an article on that in the Christian Research Journal. If you hang on, I'll send the article out to you since I am coming up to a station break. We'll be right back in just a moment.
The current issue of the Christian Research Journal is loaded with a wealth of well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Topics include Contemporary Atheist and Sneer Pressure, Evaluating the Star Wars Worldview, Organ Transplantation and Human Value, Responding to Pro-Gay Talking Points, Living as a Christian in a TV-Dominated World,
Does the Bible actually prohibit polygamy? What does it mean to wait on the Lord? What does the Bible teach about the cannabis plant? The enduring appeal of fairy tales, and still more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. That's equip.org. Don't go away. Hank Hanegraaff will return shortly. With the new atheists increasing their mockery of Christianity and militant secularism ridiculing religious convictions of all stripes, we clearly don't need zealous but misguided Christians inviting further abuse by misreading and misrepresenting biblical prophecies. Hank Hanegraaff's book, Prophetic Stars in the Constellation of Biblical Prophecy, will enable you to understand, remember, and communicate biblical prophecy. Moreover, your investment in Prophetic Stars through the Christian Research Institute will equip and encourage eager Christian brothers and sisters who genuinely yearn for truth and reliable tools to apprehend and defend their faith. To receive your copy of Prophetic Stars as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. Did you know less than 1% of the leaders of house churches in China have any seminary training? And only 2% would even qualify for seminary given education levels and income. To help remedy this situation, CRI has set in motion a 10-year Going Global initiative to provide resources on apologetics, biblical literacy, and countering cults in Mandarin and Spanish. Your prayers and support are vital to fulfilling CRI's Going Global initiative. Toward that end, we are offering the book Pray for the World, which provides well-researched information on what God is doing throughout the world and will help direct our prayers for the global church. To receive your copy of Pray for the World as our thanks for your gift in support of CRI's Going Global initiative, simply call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. A dolphin's biosonar permits it to distinguish the difference between a golf ball and a ping pong ball based solely on its density. In fact, dolphins can see inside things. What's more, a dolphin can detect a BB at the bottom of a swimming pool blindfolded. To think a dolphin's echolocation system simply arose from purposeless processes rooted in blind chance is nothing short of preposterous. Learn more about how the biological wonders in Earth's underwater realm reflect the highest levels of purpose and design in Living Waters, the latest film in Illustra Media's The Design of Life series. To receive your copy of Living Waters on DVD as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org. The plural marriages of Joseph Smith have become a public relations nightmare within Mormonism. In late 2013, The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints began publishing essays on plural marriage, awakening many members to the distressing realization that Joseph Smith, their beloved founder, was Mormonism's first polygamist. Against biblical prohibitions, Smith married 30 to 40 women, half of whom were teenagers or already married to other men. Also, in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal, discover how Old Testament legislation prohibits the practice of polygamy as part of universal moral law. Subscribe to the journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Let's return to the Bible Answer Man. Here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we'll go right back to our phone callers. Next up is Carol, listening in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, on Bot Radio. Hi, Carol.
Hi, Hank. Thank you so much for taking my call. I have wondered about this for some time, and I'm so glad I was able to get through to you, and I really appreciate you being there in your ministry.
Thank you.
That, in Revelation, when the Lord is speaking to, I don't remember which church, I'm sorry, but he says something about changing their actions, or he will blot their name out of the book of life.
Yeah, this is actually the letter to the church in Sardis. And so what's communicated there is a warning to repent. And if you
right.
don't wake up and you don't repent, and Jesus says, I'll come like a thief, and you will not know at what time I will come to you. Yet you have a few people in Sardis who have not spoiled their clothes. They're going to walk with me dressed in white, for they're worthy. And then he says, he who overcomes will like them be dressed in white, and I will never blot out their name from the book of life, but will acknowledge their names before my Father and his angels. And the phrase appears throughout the letters, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Now, the overcomer ultimately is Jesus Christ, and if you are found faithfully in Jesus Christ, you too will be an overcomer. But there are those who have not repented in the church at Sardis, and the warning to those and the people in the first century is repent, turn, and then I'll come, I'll walk with you, and you with me, and then your name will not be blotted out of the book of life, but your name will remain forever enshrined in the book of life. Now, the book of life is a way of talking about identity with Christ as your Savior, a way of talking about his engrafted life in yours.
Okay. So does that have something to do with perhaps denying his name, or
well, anyone who denies the name of Jesus Christ or denies that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is Antichrist. I mean, this is what John says in his epistles. And he says, already many Antichrists have come. They may profess Christ, but they are in essence against Christ. So you have to walk faithfully with Christ, recognizing that it is Christ alone who can provide the reconciliation that we as human beings need between a holy God and our unrighteousness. And when we walk in Christ, we are clothed in his white robes. We are no longer standing before him in the filthy robes of our own self-righteousness, but the crystal robes of his righteousness.
His righteousness.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you so much.
You got it, Carol. Thank you so much for your call. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to John, listening in Grand Island, Nebraska. Hi, John.
Hi, Hank. Thanks for being there.
You're welcome.
I heard you say that you prayed to Jesus for assistance in your show, and he said in his autobiography that he answers everybody that asks for help. And this is a full-length document on Amazon, and it came through a full trance channel by the name of Tina Louise Spalding. Last Friday, I called the Catholic radio station, and I told them the basics, and I said, what is your take on that? And they said, I got past the screener, and put me on the air, and the host said, it is a sign of a deranged mind of demonic possession, and anytime you hear the word channel, you should totally negate this. So I'll ask you the same question. What is your take on this document?
Well, I mean, this is a very perverse document from a biblical worldview, in that you cannot reconcile the words of Christ as given to us in Scripture, which is an authentic authority, with the words that are given in this purported autobiography of Jesus Christ by Tina Louise Spalding. So what you have here is you have a conflict. You either have to choose the authority of Scripture or you have to choose the kinds of things that are communicated in this purported word of God. And again, the differences are stark and startling, yeah, to say the least. So you can't claim both as authorities. You can only claim legitimately the word of God as an authority, and it demonstrates itself to be divine as opposed to merely human in origin. Exactly the opposite is true with this pseudo-autobiography, this false autobiography.
Can I read a small paragraph?
It's not necessary. I'm very, very familiar with what's going on. She claims Jesus offered her the assignment to write, or rather to channel the Lord writing his autobiography, again, through her. And so her book is Christ's autobiography, and there are new insights supposedly into cosmic intelligence, the laws of the universe, which, by the way, include the law of attraction. The autobiography parallels, in that sense, the writings of The Secret and Rhonda Byrne. And some of that is just not only notoriously bad stuff and dangerous stuff, but hilarious to some degree that anyone rational, sentient as a believer could fall for the notion that this would really be our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Well, thank you for showing your true colors on national radio. Appreciate you being there.
Well, you are absolutely welcome. By the way, let me just mention for everybody listening in, yeah, everybody wants to know the secret. You know, the secret to health, the secret to wealth, the secret to successful relationships, the secret to making a fortune on Wall Street, the secret to maintaining your perfect weight. The list is virtually endless. And therefore, when Rhonda Byrne informed the world that she had discovered the secret to life, she became a sensation. And the same thing is happening with Tina Louise Spaulding. You think about what you find in the writings of these people, like Rhonda Byrne says, the greatest teachers who have ever lived have told us that the law of attraction is the most powerful law in the universe. Among those teachers, of course, Jesus Christ. And as she goes on to explain, the law of attraction is the law of creation. And then she says, using a little of her scientific jargon, that quantum physicists will tell you that the entire universe emerged from thought. You create your life through your thoughts and the law of attraction, and every single person does exactly the same thing. It doesn't just work for you. It works for everyone and has throughout history. And while the science of quantum physics is complex, it is allegedly simple to apply. At least so says Rhonda Byrne. The creative process used in The Secret, which was taken from the New Testament and the Bible, she says is as easy as 1, 2, 3. You just ask, you believe, you receive. And she points to herself as a prime example. To transform herself from fat to thin, well, what did she do? She started thinking thin thoughts. And she didn't so much as even look at a fat person. If you see people who are overweight, she says, don't observe them, but immediately switch your mind to the picture of you in your perfect body and then feel it. And as a result, she says, I now maintain a perfect weight of 116 pounds, and I can eat whatever I want. And according to her book, the error is to think that food is responsible for weight gain. I kid you not. She says that the most common thought that people hold, and she says I used to hold it as well, is that food was responsible for my weight gain. That is a belief that does not serve you. And in my mind now, it is complete balderdash. Food is not responsible for putting on weight. It is your thought that food is responsible for putting on weight that actually has food put on weight. Remember, thoughts are primary cause of everything, and the rest is effects from those thoughts. Think perfect thoughts, and the result will be perfect weight. Again, that's her little treatise on how you can have the perfect weight. At first blush, her rhetoric might just appear silly to you, but there is a clear and present danger in her reasoning. Just as her followers must avoid fat people for fear of becoming fat themselves, so too they must avoid cancer victims for fear of contracting cancer, or poor people for fear of becoming poor. In other words, you should avoid the very people Jesus exhorts us to care for. You're not even supposed to look at them. So the point here is that the stuff you get through the law of attraction is channeled by Jesus in the Tina Louise episode, or whether you're talking about Rhonda Byrne, this is another gospel. This is another message. It is not a message that is biblical. It is a message that is antichrist. That's why we're taught in Scripture to test the spirits to see if they are from God. Even if you think it's an angel of enlightenment, test that angel. How do you do that? Well, we have a final court of arbitration. It is the word. Test all things in light of Scripture. Hold fast to that which is good. We also have the history of the church. It has given us a rich repository that allows us to separate truth from error. The problem today is that people are biblically illiterate, they're historically illiterate, and so they continue to fall for things like this, Jesus, My Autobiography by Tina Louise Spalding, or Rhonda Byrne. I mean, it's the same class of nonsense, or even Joel Osteen, quite frankly. Same class of nonsense. And unless you're biblically literate, you will bite the poison apple and you will pay the consequences. You think about Osteen, he's saying that the moment you speak something out, you give birth to it. He says it's a spiritual principle. It works whether what you're saying is good or bad, positive or negative. So whether you find it in the Word of Faith movement, Rhonda Byrne, or in the newest sensation down the line, there'll be Tina Louise Spalding, then there'll be someone else. Whether you have to test these spirits in light of Scripture, hold fast to that which is good. This is all part and parcel of what we do at the Christian Research Institute. We teach people to exercise discernment skills so they can distinguish between wheat and chaff, heat and light. We hope that that is a blessing to you, and for those who can stand shoulder to shoulder with this ministry in the battle for life and truth, you can see the importance in terms of what just happened. You can do so in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org, or you can write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Of course, our resource consultant standing by, 888-7000, and the letters CRI. Thanks for tuning in. We look forward to seeing you next time with more of the show.
Thanks for tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Our website, equip.org, has an abundance of resources to sharpen your discernment skills and help you grow in life and truth. We provide books, videos, and informative articles. You can also listen to the broadcast live, download archived programs, get answers to pressing Bible questions, follow our blog, or connect with us via social media. All this and more at equip.org. Again, the address is equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Endless predictions about end-time events and published timetables counting down the end have proven to be wrong 100% of the time. When doomsday predictions fail, there is double-duty damage. Many theologically juvenile and scripturally superficial Christians abandon the faith as a result of these failed predictions, and the public image of Christianity is damaged, making Christians appear to be hopelessly naive and easily duped biblical bumpkins. Hank Hanegraaff's book, Prophetic Stars in the Constellation of Biblical Prophecy, will equip you not only to interpret biblical prophecy correctly, but to remember it as well. To receive your copy of Prophetic Stars as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. We live in an age of increasingly militant secularism and scientism,
an age in which science, reinforced by its stunning successes and unprecedented benefits in our quality of life, is increasingly the arbiter of what constitutes truth. But the question is, do the facts of science really suggest a world governed by blind chance, or do they ultimately point to purpose and design? Living Waters, the latest film by Illustra Media, explores Earth's astonishing underwater realm and shows how it's a realm where biological wonders reflect the highest levels of purpose and design. To receive your copy of Living Waters on DVD as our thank you for your support, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org.